Instagram is always changing. The algorithms are adjusting, the trends are evolving, and you can look at it and respond one of two ways. Your response can be, I'm not gonna change with it, I'm gonna put my head in the sand, or you can realize that that's most everybody else's response, and you can embrace the changes on Instagram and get ahead and build more engagement with your audience and generate leads and grow on Instagram. The opportunity is tremendous if you pay attention to the trends and the changes, which is exactly what this show is all about today. Now, to help me with this, I have an expert guest interview with Eric Simon, the Broke Agent, who is one of the most knowledgeable thinkers and observers when it comes to how to take advantage and leverage the platform that is Instagram. So welcome to This Week in Marketing. If you're new to the channel, it would mean a ton if you would tap that big red subscribe button on YouTube. And there's a little bell icon adjacent to it. If you tap that, it turns on alerts. So whenever new episodes just like this get published, you are the first to know about it. And this one is going to be loaded with different insights and trends and opportunities for you to explore with your content strategy on Instagram. So without further ado, let's dive into the interview with Eric Simon, the Broke Agent. Marketing is ever evolving, and with the emergence of AI, the rate of change is faster than ever. Adapt quickly to AI-driven marketing strategies or risk falling behind. This is precisely why we've created the AI Marketing Academy, a 4-week virtual intensive tailored to integrate AI seamlessly into your marketing strategy. You'll start with unraveling the basics of AI, then you'll get to grips with essential AI tools. And finally, you'll learn how to incorporate these tools into effective real-world marketing tactics. Space is limited. Don't miss your chance to be a part of the future. I am so excited for this conversation today to talk about the state of Instagram. Where is it today? Where has it been that it is no longer? Where is it going? And I am joined by such an expert. Eric, thank you so much for being on the show today, man. I'm so happy to be able to listen to you, ask you questions, get your thoughts. And I know everybody else who's listening or watching is equally as excited to hear the Broke Agent, Eric Simon, talk about Instagram. Welcome, man.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me, Jason. This is like our State of the Union
address. It is. I'd like to address like those. Yeah,
you and me, you know, I'm the president of Instagram. You're sitting behind me with a gavel, either nodding your head or shaking your head no.
What am I? What's my position?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah,
I'm an ally.
Excited to talk about the state of Instagram and everything that we've been doing on the BAM account, the Broke Agent account, and what I've been seeing from agents.
Yeah, likewise. And I think this would be a fun conversation to compare notes. So let's just kick it off by saying, from your vantage point, what is the state of Instagram as the apparently the incumbent for Instagram leadership?
Yes, exactly. The incumbent. I need 4 more years of this as well.
Yeah.
The state of Instagram is ever evolving. Right. So I think right now it is people and content creators and agents who are constantly looking at what is working on the app and making sure that they're adjusting their content to that. Now, I know that's a really broad statement to lead off with, but what's working is not just doing what was working 2 years ago or just posting clips or posting the same sort of content over and over and over again. It's the content creators that I see that are constantly evolving and changing up their clip style and changing up the sort of, you know, publishing style of their post and invoking more variety into their content that are lasting on the app. You see a lot of creators that kind of got in, you know, some specific way that they were shooting the content, whether it was storytelling or as podcast clips, and they've just been publishing the same thing over and over and over again for the last couple of years because maybe that's what worked in 2021. But it's the creators that see, all right, well, maybe this isn't getting as much engagement as it used to. Maybe there's not enough hooks, or maybe I'm not capturing the attention that I used to a couple of years ago. So then they're putting more carousel posts into it, or it's more text-based content. It's variety that wins the game in 2024.
Yeah, so I've noticed as well that Instagram is certainly rewarding a mixtures of formats. So whether it's carousels and reels and just mixing it up, they're certainly rewarding that. Allow me to push back for a bit if I could. So let's say you're an agent who is looking to be relentlessly consistent, but you're not necessarily in the app all day, every day, paying attention to every latest trend, and you're looking for, how do I create a snowball effect? Would you say that the creators and the businesses who are having the most success on the platform, is it that they're stylistically changing it up, or is it a combination of stylistically, but also they're being very careful with their content in that the message is really, really perfectly crafted and they're speaking valuable content? I guess when I say content, I've always thought about, well, content's what really wins, and what is content?
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, whether you use this hip little Zoom feature or effect, it's about, what are you saying and does it resonate with an audience? What are your thoughts
on
that?
I totally agree. I think value-based entertainment content is winning today. I think kind of during the content gold rush is what I like to call it, kind of back in the early pandemic 2020 to 2022, when all agents had to do is kind of point at disappearing captions on TikTok and have a pulse basically, and then sell a house for 30% over asking. Like there was no thought, right? Because it was literally the bull market of content creation. Everybody was using trending audios. Everybody was just publishing, honestly, just a bunch of shit, basically just trying to, you know, hop on trends. But I think the state of Instagram, especially when it comes to real estate, is about entertainment and value, because the way the world is looking at real estate agents right now, especially with, you know, the NAR settlement and all this kind of negative news about real estate agents, they don't want to see a dancing clown on Instagram right now. I'll be the clown, right? I'm the broke agent. I'll tell, you know, funny jokes and do memes and self-deprecating agent to agent content. But the agents that are doing like the hyper local content about their market, that are doing the updates about a new development, a new restaurant, a new pickleball court that just came in, and kind of breaking the news to their audience. Like, I want to share that content. I want to consume that. I don't need these kind of broad strokes about why it sucks to be a real estate agent. Like, who wants to follow that sort of content at this point?
Now, I think a couple of things I would point out that I like what you said. One, making content for the consumer. What does the consumer need to know? What do they need to learn? And maybe you're somebody who's funny, maybe you're not. I wouldn't try to force humor, especially if you're not a funny person. I would try to lead with, well, who are you when I meet you at a house to see a property or at a listing appointment? How do you come off camera is how I think you should come off on camera. And in most senses of the way. But I also think what you said about like not being tone deaf to how the consumer needs you to act. I mean, that's true, not just in Instagram. That's true in all your marketing, your postcards, your email, your everything. As the market shifts and adjusts, the way you talk about what you do and the information that a consumer needs to know is going to have to adjust and shift with that. So I guess what I'm taking away so far in this conversation about Instagram is don't get so static where you're just posting canned content. And I think way a lot of people get into canned content is they just have a specific way of doing things. They're not really thinking about what they're saying. They're just posting and posting and posting. And it turns into kind of a checkbox versus realizing that, wait, Instagram is a point of connection with an audience who's made the decision to follow you and pay attention. And if you get in the habit of just pumping out useless information or vanilla content that's not really going to help people with anything, that's going to get lost in the noise and people are going to stop paying attention, and the algorithm certainly isn't going to rank or reward that kind of content.
Yeah. Announcing that it's St. Patty's Day or that it's Thanksgiving or that it's the 4th of July.
Right.
Oh, everybody already knows that.
Wow.
You know, like I don't need that information from my realtor. I don't need the Remax branded turkey, as I always say, on Thanksgiving saying happy Thanksgiving. Yeah. That sort of content does nothing for nobody and gets absolutely no engagement. Another thing I just want to say, like the state of Instagram, at least from a real estate perspective, is I really like it when agents actually post their listings. I feel like I went on the Tom Ferry podcast with you a couple of years ago. I was like, oh, the just solds, just listed templates, those suck. Like, you need entertaining content. And that's of course true. But I feel like so many agents have gotten so far away from even posting the fact that they're selling real estate and it's all just agent to agent content, or it's all just entertainment, that then there becomes no proof of business. Then it's like, well, why am I following this person? If are they even selling real estate, or are they just, you know, creating content at this point? And again, I understand where this is coming from because I make real estate memes. Well, I'm not selling real estate. I got completely away from it, but I like seeing when Chris Benjamin posts his listings in creative ways. I like seeing when agents have a carousel of their actual reviews and the proof of business and the people that are saying, wow, you really helped me with this, and the storytelling about how they actually closed the transaction. I think that's really, really effective and almost rare these days to see.
I think it's not only effective and rare, but I think it's essential, because if you look at the way the platforms are working algorithmically, I mean, Instagram has, and I want to talk about this in a bit, but Instagram has been adjusting its algorithms, especially with Reels, to behave and function a lot more like TikTok, which is largely predicated on it will show you content it believes you're interested in. We know, and maybe you can touch on this too, we know that in the home feed, for instance, about like 30 to 40% of the posts that we see as we scroll through our own home feed is actually AI suggested content. Content that's being shown to you as an individual based upon your use on your viewing habits and your consumption habits. And that's happening to everybody on Instagram. And so the reality is, the platform, the algorithm's job is to synthesize and understand, oh, this person makes content like this for people like that. and then be able to go find an audience who'd be interested in what you have to say. So not talking about real estate, not positioning yourself as a local market expert, to me is a total miss, because you're failing to be able to cash in on the benefit that the algorithm's job is literally to go find people who actually want to watch your content. Now, if it's going to be noise, I get it. It needs to have a level of quality to it. But again, this idea of being a secret agent on Instagram, I just don't support it. I think there's a way to be personal and professional all the time.
The constant agent to agent content. Obviously, that's great for referrals. And there's a very small portion of real estate agents like the Matt Leonettis and the Dan O'Neills, who's, by the way, doing way more proof of business stuff, but that have large followings. They're going to be getting 70 to 80% of their clients from Instagram referrals from other agents. 90% of agents are not going to be doing that.
Think about like Ken Pozak down in Orlando. He's making content that is so expressly for people living in or moving to Orlando that is the only people who would even care about his content are living to or moving in Orlando. And guess what he gets in return? People who are living in or moving to Orlando looking for a realtor like him. So he just cleans up from a lead generation standpoint because he knows who he's making content for. And I guess I would say, I think it's really important from a trend standpoint to be very clear about who are you making content for, who's your audience, and then trust the algorithm. It's kind of like Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. If you supply the content for that audience, the algorithm will take it to them, like distribution.
Yep.
So I don't know, what else are you seeing in the state of Instagram today?
You know what's really working for us, especially on the BAM account, and I see this on other agents' Instagram accounts as well, is simple text-based content that's just giving you a very easily consumable stat. So on our BAM account, instead of doing this talking head clip where it feels like you fell off a cliff and now you're involved in this conversation and you need a hook to even understand what's being talked about, you need so much context. When we just tweet something, screenshot that tweet, and we say inventory levels year to year in February were this and now they're this, that gets hundreds of shares, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of agents do this too, where they're just doing headline posts. There's a guy named Kyle Talbot. Moving to Kansas City. Do you know him?
I know his account. Yeah.
Yeah. Great account. So it's basically just like the Orlando Reel, like Ken Pozak's account. There's a couple other accounts like this as well, but he's basically just the news headline source of Kansas City. Oh, Kansas City Chiefs are playing at this time. The parade is here. A new boutique hotel opened here. And it doesn't always have to be a video. It could just be a screenshot of a headline that you make in a very simple Canva template or a Momus app or something like that. And that's going to get a ton of shares because you're breaking that news. A new Whole Foods is opening right here, breaking news. And you could provide context in the actual caption.
Why do you think breaking news approach is working so well on Instagram? How would you explain that?
Well, because you're the one that's giving that knowledge to the audience first. Like if they're reading it from their local news source, then they're sharing that to their friends as opposed to sharing your actual Instagram. So it's way more effective coming from the real estate agent. And also because news is the ultimate trend jack, right? That's why green screen content is and forever will be, I believe, on Instagram to be the most engaged content possible. You go to our Now BAM account on Instagram, our average Instagram clip gets 5,000 to 10,000 views from a podcast. That's, you know, Tom Tool and Byron talking or me yapping about Instagram, whatever it is. But a green screen today, for example, the NAR settlement, whatever, we had two green screens, 50,000, 100,000 views. That's because that's what's happening in the moment right now.
Yep.
You're breaking that news. The article acts as the actual visual hook and you're providing more context to it. Green screen content is the move.
I think green screen content is the move too. And I think that it's news articles. I've even seen, it's an interesting way to do listing videos. Like here's my Zillow listing, having the listing in the background, there's motion. It is a visual hook, like you said. I think the news automatically deploys certain like psychological triggers, like urgency. I need to know, how does this concern me now? I think we know the news is an effective hook in terms of capturing attention. And I would also say that because it's urgent and you're the first to break the news, you already said it, what happens is people share it. And I think shares is the ultimate interaction that Instagram cares the most about with your content. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, even if it's just shares in the DMs, it doesn't have to be public shares. And whenever I publish a piece of content, I'm consciously thinking from the Broke Agent account or the BAM account, would someone share this?
Yep.
Is this interesting enough for someone to either DM to someone and say, hey, this is funny? Or is this palatable enough for them to share their story and say, hey, here's a grievance that's happening in real estate? Same thing from the BAM account. If we're posting a news headline, that's going to get shares. If it's a podcast clip about me talking about Instagram engagement, that's going to get way less shares than something that's news-based content.
Yeah.
So another thing agents should do is check your insights on a regular basis, right? Like I am constantly overanalyzing every single post, not every, you know, 10 minutes looking at what the engagement's like, but at the end of each day, I do look at the insights and I see, oh, this one got this amount of shares. This one got more comments. Why is that? Is it because I had a more engaging caption or, you know, this one, the retention of this reel, which you could now see as an insight, was only 10 seconds long, but the video was 45 seconds. So what the hell did I do at 10 seconds?
That made everybody bounce. Yeah.
How do I get people's attention more? Was it just my ugly mug on there? Should I have more B-roll? Should it cut away? Like these are all things to look at when you're looking at your content.
Yeah. And I also think that shares, I think Instagram, and I'm curious your take on this. I think Instagram knows that shares, because it happens in the DMs, is kind of one of its secret weapons. I mean, you look at some of its competitor platforms and they lack the same level of community and success in DMs. And I saw a stat, and I need to confirm the stat, but it was an absurd amount of posts are shared via DMs every day on Instagram. I mean, an absurd number. And you have to imagine, like, from a stickiness standpoint, in terms of that being a competitive advantage over, let's just name it, TikTok, Instagram, I believe, and this is what I've seen in my own content when I look at my insights, for the posts that I post, that I share, that drive shares, they automatically do significantly better. And sometimes I've even seen posts that will get shares later, but it's when they spark shares immediately. That's when Instagram's like, throw gas on the fire. This is an this is the kind of post we want to circulate because it's creating more conversation in the DMs. And so I think your point about, is this content shareable, is one of the most important questions you should ask if you want to get engagement.
Yeah, you got to think about how all of your content is being received. You don't just publish something with a half-assed caption. Yeah. Like you have to put work into, how do I get this more engagement? Do I pin my own comment? Do I pin someone else's comment? Am I using hashtags? Am I sharing this to my story? Am I embedding this into an email? Like you're putting a lot of effort into this content. At least most people are.
How much content should an agent be producing today?
How much am I producing?
How much content should an agent be producing today?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it depends. Like I think being consistent, at least, like if you actually write yourself a content prescription and maybe it's 3 to 5 posts a week, plus a couple stories a day, depending on how high quality that content is. Like there's no reason you shouldn't have an Instagram story up every single day about what you're actually doing in your real estate business. But if you're producing like these high quality reels, like a Chris Benjamin or a Shane Bergman, then your quantity is going to be a little bit less.
Yeah.
But if you're doing kind of more the breaking news, the headlines, the listing photos, like there's no reason you also shouldn't have a post up every single day, right?
Yeah.
Like it's in, and here's something to stress too, is people will go to a Tom Ferry event or a Marketing Edge event, or they'll listen to this podcast, they'll get super fired up and they'll go on a posting spree for like 2 or 3 months and then they'll burn out.
Yep.
Like what keeps your Instagram account going and your digital brand growing is the consistency over an enormous amount of time, right? Like I've been doing this for 9.5 years. Which is ridiculous. Like I've been posting memes on the Broke Agent account 2 to 3 times a day, 5 to 8 Instagram
stories. And we love them.
Until recently, for years. And the BAM account is extremely consistent, right? There's 3 posts up there every single day. There's 8 to 10 Instagram stories. Like it's an absolute grind to actually see a return on your content.
Do you think, this is a granular question, what are your thoughts on trending audio and some of the gimmickry, so to speak, that folks have used in the past to try to get their post more optimized for better performance? What is the best practice on that today?
I like that word gimmickry. I've never heard that before.
I made it up.
That's really good. I'm going to start using that one.
Go for it.
The trending audio does not work like it did back in 2021, where it was rocket fuel, where you could put the savage TikTok song, put it on volume 3, but you're talking about the real estate market, but it just couples it with all these other posts. And now you have rocket fuel on that content. The way I use trending audios, or the way I use audios, is does it complement my actual post?
Right.
If I'm posting content about, you know, we have BAMcella coming up, right? It's a real estate virtual event that we haven't announced yet, but I just did right there.
I'm happy to provide the podcast for you. There you go.
It's an exclusive. I'm going to have some fun, you know, Sebastian Ingrosso, Avicii, Coachella sort of music during that announcement, right? Yeah. If you're talking about, I don't know, the Super Bowl, maybe you have the NFL Fox theme on in the background.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a new Cuban restaurant that opened up, maybe you have some Cuban music going on in the background,
nice.
Right? There you go.
Yeah.
Pulled that one out of my ass.
But you really delivered.
I did. It's basically, does your audio complement it and does it not interfere with the content? Yeah. Because there's a ton of agents still that will just put a trending audio because they've seen it on a bunch of accounts and then they put it to volume 6 and it completely interferes with what is being said.
I would also make the argument that in some cases it works against you because Instagram's algorithm is always trying to learn, okay, this account creates content like this for people like that. And it pays attention to who your followers are and what is the common denominator between them so it can understand how to recommend and suggest your content. And let's say you use some trending audio song and you get a bunch of people whose interests, they're interested in that music and so they see your content, but not because of the content. I almost think that it's a false alarm to your content in some regards where you could accidentally put your content in front of the wrong audience and then throw the algorithm off the right scent of finding that avatar who should be your follower.
That's a very, very good point. Very true. I think the whole point with audios is it complementing the content? Is it adding to the content? Is it making it better? It's always good to put audios if there's a lot of ums, there's a lot of down space in the clip, and does it make it sound more exciting, right? Like if you're just doing a talking head thing and it's me sitting in front of a mic, sometimes that's not nearly as entertaining if I have audio going on in the background or some sort of like motivational thing to emphasize with what I'm saying. So for the audience, I wouldn't care at all about is this audio trending?
Yep.
But is this audio complement and add to the actual content?
What are some of the latest features and enhancements, I guess, you've seen on Instagram that you think are worthy of mention?
The notes app. No, I'm kidding. The notes thing does absolutely nothing. You could update it every now and then.
I was like, seriously?
I liked it at the beginning. It's like an Instagram status. It's a good way to call attention to something, but that's only to your followers.
Yeah.
The collab feature, obviously.
Yeah, that's a good
I would
one.
Be collabing with other agents in your brokerage. I'd be collabing with your brokerage
other businesses account. In your area.
Yeah, the local businesses, of course. Anytime you're doing a restaurant review, a coffee shop opens up, that's that's going to make them so much more receptive of you coming in to review that restaurant. Mm-hmm. If you're saying, hey, I got 2,000 followers, I'm going to collab with your account. We're going to see both audiences.
That's right.
Broadcast channels is a very underutilized feature that agents are using. Here's what I would do if I was an agent.
I was going to ask you, how would you do it if you were an agent?
Yeah, there we go. Exactly. It's like I'm asking myself these questions. What I would do is I would name it something like, you know, the Kansas City Weekly Market Update or something like that. You know, name it something intriguing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Kansas City News or something like that.
Yeah.
And once a week, do an audio recording. Or do a video of yourself. So you could just talk about inventory levels, talk about new listings coming on the market, talk about new developments. And you could just record with this speaker and send that out as like a minute long thing.
Absolutely.
Or you could send an actual video of yourself, or you could send your actual content into your broadcast channel. But what that does is it gets delivered directly into their DMs, which DMs get opened like 90% of the time. So it's a no-brainer.
Do you think a lot of agents, like I'm getting inspired by some thought with what you're saying there. Like I think a lot of agents have a high barrier to their content. They get themselves on a kind of content calendar. It gets a little canned and they have all these steps and boxes to check to be able to achieve this is post worthy. But it seems like what's working the best right now on Instagram is mixing up your formats and doing whatever it takes to make sure that your audience hears from you what they need to hear from you. Because they follow and subscribe to your thought leadership for a specific purpose. And so by whatever means it takes to get that information to them, you should do that. And it's not always a question of quality. It's a question of, are you doing whatever it takes to get them the information they need? I mean, I don't know if that makes any sense. What are your thoughts on that?
I concur. I agree.
Good. I'm glad.
That's all I got.
I'm glad to hear that. Do you even know what I said?
Yeah. I think the important point with Instagram and with agents on it is the willingness to experiment as well.
Yeah.
And to change up your posting style and to just not be afraid to try a new realm of content. Change the settings, record something in your car organically, record something at your house, record something in front of your family, record something in front of a listing. Background changes, switches every few seconds. Like the more settings they see you in, for whatever reason, it's more intriguing to the audience. Because if I just see someone sitting in the same studio and it's the same setting, the same camera, like I said at the beginning, I'm going to tune out that content because I basically
fatigued.
Know where it's going.
Yeah, you get fatigued and desensitized to it.
Correct.
And candidly, it's like the way people scroll, there's a difference between search and scroll on social media. And a scroll-based platform, it trains our brains to think, ooh, the next one's going to be it. Scroll. The next one's going to be it. Scroll. And you keep looking for that little hit of dopamine by scrolling.
Yep.
And if you keep seeing the same thing, you already know what that is. And so you don't get the little hit you were looking for. So people, you've got to keep mixing it up to the point of it keeps people hooked because they're getting that little shot. Now, speaking of search, I want to ask you, where do you think the world of social media is going? I mean, we would already say today that YouTube is dominantly a search engine. YouTube Shorts have been pretty effective. YouTube is a search engine. Instagram keeps talking more about keywords in your captions, a little bit more searchability. I don't think they're nearly as far along as TikTok is when it comes to search. And I don't think TikTok's nearly as far along as YouTube is when it comes to search. What are your thoughts on this dichotomy between search and scroll when it comes to social?
It's evolving. Like, these things kind of go in pendulums, right? Where there's overcorrections, almost like political pendulums, where everything goes really right wing, everything goes really left wing. There's corrections every 2 years, every 4 years.
Yeah.
But like, that's kind of how it is with social media too, in a way where, you know, YouTube was king. YouTube is king, but long form content, you want to consume skits, you want to watch podcasts and everything. And then the TikTokification of 2019 to 2022 made everything so bite-sized and so short form. And let me get your attention right away. Let me have this fast hook and this trending audio and everything. But now people are so desensitized to that content that now it's shifting back to long form. And I think we were talking before this about how, you know, TikTok keeps expanding the amount of time
15 minutes.
That people are 15-minute videos, right? And Instagram said they were going to be doing this on social media today, which is both of our, I got this from you, is a great resource to see what's happening in marketing and social media. They had an article a few months ago that said Instagram's going to be expanding to 9 or 10 minutes as well.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they're shifting back to long form video too, because long form, as we know in real estate and everything, it's what builds trust.
There's it's a high
reason
intent,
why we're trying to drive everybody from Instagram to YouTube to watch our podcast, to listen to, you know, me talk on long form, because it's like, oh, this guy actually knows what he's talking about. Now I want to make a move with him.
Yeah. And that's Gary Vaynerchuk 101. It's interesting because some may remember Instagram made the announcement that it was confusing because they said your reels can be way, way longer. But what they were really doing was removing any form of video that wasn't a reel initially out of the feed. And it wasn't being circulated through the reels feed if it was more than 90 seconds, but it could be on your grid. And it's confusing. So I think it's interesting that they're going to go back to the long form game. I mean, TikTok, for instance, they've got a new widget you can put on your device's home screen to search for videos. They just rolled out, I think today or yesterday, analytics and insights for search, so you can try to figure out those terms. They're definitely going for it, but I think the pendulum is really a smart metaphor, because I do believe you're right. People are like so desensitized of the same old hooks and gimmickry, to use the word again, that's trying to capture your attention and get you hooked. And I think long form is really working very well right now. Podcasts, long form market updates. I actually think about, you mentioned Shane Bergman. Shane does just a Loom video where he screen records market updates. It's like 20 minutes and it doesn't get a ton of views, but it gets the right views from people in his marketplace, and he's generating listings from it. So I do think that, I think long form is something to be paying attention to. I think searchability and going deeper on topics is something to pay attention to. What do you think is definitely not working anymore on Instagram?
The attempt at just trying to engagement, Jack, is not working anymore. Like you said, with the gimmickry, like, you really could get people's engagement by having a looping reel or having something that was only 3 seconds long as a sort of just gimmick to get people to watch the entire video.
Yeah.
That just doesn't work anymore. Yeah. I think it's really just, you know, because it's so oversaturated now and there's so many agents and there's so much content, you're competing with so much, the value has to be so good.
You made a comment before the recording. We were talking about talking head videos, and you've already somewhat alluded to it with green screens, and green screens, because you have an article or something like that in the background, it creates a visual hook embedded in the video itself. I was going to ask you more definitively, do you think the quality of content matters in terms of like resolution, cameras, gear, stuff like that, or can it actually work against you? What are your thoughts?
No, I think it definitely works in your favor. There's a reason why Shane Bergman's videos are doing so well, or Derek Gregory's videos. You watch these videos and you're like, oh my God, this is cinematic. This is like Dune 2. What am I watching right now? It stands out on the page, right? Yeah. Like, when we first started doing BAM content and the Overass podcast, I would rewatch them. And I was doing them basically, this is not a great background either, by the way, but I was doing it in my guest bedroom with like a cot bed in the background. I had no lighting. I had an awful mic, and I'm listening to it back and I'm like, damn, this content's really good, but what I'm saying is not being received nearly as well because I don't have a good mic. I don't have a good camera. And I know that's kind of the exact opposite is what everybody says is like, oh, you just have to have your cell phone, which is true for most content. But if you are doing podcasts and long form and you're investing
long form is different.
Yeah. Spending a couple $100 on a good mic and a good camera are very important. But I will say this, the organic content that people just flip their phone around and do the green screen or do the car conversation, right? Hey, I'm outside of this showing. Here's the activity we're getting. Here's a funny thing that happened to me today, blah, blah, blah. Like that sort of content is more relatable to people because it's not this like pre-rehearsed button up content. I think it matters for whatever content you're trying to post, right? If it's the long form in the podcast, the quality matters.
I would argue with your long form content on a platform like YouTube where long form thrives. And the reason why long form thrives on a platform like YouTube is because YouTube is a search engine. And when somebody goes searching for the topic they want to watch, that means two things. One, it means they have a higher expectation of quality because they're about to commit something to it. They're looking for a higher quality. I don't think you can get away with a podcast on YouTube or any kind of a long form show and use lousy gear, for instance. I also think that it means you're going to have to, because they're going to watch for longer, they have more of an appetite. I don't think short videos, like I tell my clients with YouTube, videos under a few minutes, like 2 or 3 minute videos are actually, they're anemic compared to the appetite that somebody has. If you look at Brad McCallum, he's doing 12 minute listing tours of properties because that's the appetite of somebody who searched and found, if that makes sense. But on Instagram, it's not really a search and find kind of platform. It's a scroll and see. And so that's where I think that if it were me coaching clients about the kind of content you need more of right now, I would say, can you, and this is going to, and I want you to push back on me if you disagree. Can you find formats that you can replicate again and again that almost feign in the moment, documenting your day? Because I know how most agents operate. They're busy, they're out showing properties, selling houses, going on appointments, and they don't have time to sit around and imagine the most elaborate frames or formats for how it would be a creative video for this. And so I think if they can find a couple of modalities where it's the flip the phone around and do the green screen, in the car, like you talked about, out on the field looking at showings, those sorts of a playbook that they can run those plays over and over again, I think that's going to help them a lot in their social strategy. What do you think?
Yeah. You know what I really like is Ben Bellick, who, great, great content creator. He's always doing green screens. He has a hilarious podcast with Zach Goldsmith. Like his variety of content is all over the place in a really good way. He's done content before. I believe it's him where he used to just do home tours, but he would have someone sitting in the front seat and just recording him. Like there's no reason you shouldn't go on Broker's Caravan with another agent. You guys could like switch seats or whatever, but then you could just talk about what's going on in the market. Like I love that drive-by content because it feels like you're kind of in the moment.
When you're going somewhere. What's up? And you're going somewhere, walking, driving, and spending time with other people. And I do think content where you're with other people is fun too, because I think it actually fuels subconsciously the feeling as if you're in a social environment, which is what you're looking for as a user in social media, trying to feel socially connected to people. And so,
Once you start doing it, you start to get that muscle memory of, oh, here's a good place to create content at, or here's something I should take a picture of, or I'm at this new restaurant right now. I might do a video of it. I'm going to flip my phone around right now and at least get some B-roll of it for a potential video down the road. So right? Like, you don't have to film yourself at the restaurant, but get some B-roll, get some, you know, a video of your cheeseburger and your beer or whatever, and then go back to your place, do a green screen of the title of the restaurant, and then you have the B-roll going on. Yeah. So always just be consciously filming, I guess.
How much would you say is the right balance of content? That is, you know, the good mic, the good background, the good content, prepared content versus what we might call this more spontaneous, intimate feeling content. Even if it isn't spontaneous or intimate, it at least creates the sense that it is. What's going to be the right mixture of that?
I think you put it perfectly where on Instagram, like if I'm scrolling Instagram and I saw me sitting in front of a mic trying to tell you something like this, you're going to scroll by that most likely. You're not going to scroll by if I'm in my car. Like it is just such a better hook. So I think the platform differentiation is really what it is. Not really how much should I do on Instagram should be 70-30 high quality content. I think the high quality content, like you said, is mostly for the long form. So that's for the YouTube. And then it's the organic stuff that's more for Instagram and TikTok. Because the clips, the podcast clips just do not perform at all on Instagram. There's a reason why we're not posting six of those a day anymore.
That depends. Look at Kim Pozak. I mean, His yeah, clips are crushing.
Ken Pozak has, he talk about someone who has a new shift every 2 or 3 seconds in a video. You hear the click.
I call it 1, 2, 3 new. 1, 2, 3 new.
It's B-roll, like your eye, like everything that he's talking about is providing exact context in video too. It's crazy. So yeah, he does a great job at, but his is not really like a podcast. It's more just, I'm telling you about this new development that's going on. It's not necessarily a conversation that you're jumping in front of.
Well, I think where he exceeds, because it is actually from his podcast. Most of his content is clips that come from his, he does a live stream podcast where he just talks about new developments that are happening, and not just residential developments, but like emerging items of wanting to know about in your local community. He talks about those and then they clip it up really well. And you're right. I've even talked to Ken about it. He's referenced the movie Oppenheimer in terms of how fast the frame is moving. There's always something, and we've talked about it a lot. I've even trained on this at Marketing Edge, where people are programmed to want to scroll after a couple of seconds. So we think about editing as 1, 2, 3, show them something new. 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. give me something new that makes me feel like I don't need to scroll to get something new.
Yep.
It could be a sound effect. It could be a B-roll, a clip. And that's why I'm teaching a program called AI Marketing Academy that talks about how to use tools like NVIDIA and Runway ML and other tools to try to get some of that B-roll, because it's a lot of work from an editing standpoint, and Veed and others to do that. I love that idea. As far as long form goes, and I didn't prepare to go here in this conversation, but I had a question for you. Do you think we're at a point now in social media, not just Instagram, where an agent should perhaps take a moment to pause and say, hey, what audience am I trying to build? And what content do I have for them? And do I need to be more choosy in terms of the platform that best lends itself to me based upon my audience and my style of presenting to that audience?
Yeah, I mean, I think too, you do have to be choosy with your platform, but two must-haves are Instagram and YouTube. At this point, there's a reason why everybody is so focused on YouTube, because they know that the long form is what actually generates conversions mm-hmm. and leads. Like you said, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, they're scroll-first platforms, right? You just want to get the dopamine. How often are you actually, oh, I'm going to actually go to this person's bio or take action on this post and then click on a different video and then message them and set up a Calendly through Instagram? Probably 1% of the time, 0% of the time, basically, right? It's the YouTube after you listen to someone for 15, 20 minutes, and then they drop, hey, you want to book an appointment with me? It's in the description below.
So then why should somebody care about Instagram?
Because it's ultimately a funnel to your long form too. And also because that's where people go mostly, it's still you're showing up in people's feeds, yep. right? So even if they're not taking action on your actual post, I'm still seeing Jason Pantana every single day.
Yeah.
I'm still seeing Taya DiCarlo every single day. So maybe I'm not going to buy a house for 5, 6 years, but I'm still seeing that person every day. And I'm not searching on YouTube how to buy a house yet, because that's just not, you don't really scroll that much on YouTube, right?
You don't.
Like you said, it's a search first platform.
Yeah.
But also you use Instagram, like once you build that audience, and this is like my entire mind shift with Instagram, and maybe I'm contradicting myself a little bit here, is how do I get people off of Instagram, knowing that it is not the best place to actually convert, right? How do I get people into my database? How do I use a lead magnet? Mm-hmm. How do I use an ebook or a buyer's guide or a webinar or something where I've already have this following here on Instagram?
Yeah.
I feel like I've already kind of won that audience, but how do I get them to see my other content? And then naturally they'll start consuming the other content and they'll get Instagram just for the little tidbits. Was that an answer to the question? I feel like that was.
Yeah. And it wasn't really a very coherent question. I mean, you and I are just two social media students. Geniuses. And I agree with you. Like YouTube and Instagram are both undeniable right now. They truly are. I've been teaching a framework at Marketing Edge where it's a kind of a triangle funnel, and it's the three reasons for why you should do social media marketing. And the whole talk track is pick a reason. There's no wrong reason, but know your reason. Know your reason why. And if you do the first reason, that's the only reason. If you do the next reason, it's you get both. And if you do the top reason, it's all three. It's kind of a triangle or a pyramid, if you will. And the baseline reason for doing social media marketing on a platform like Instagram is to look good when looked up. At the very basis of it all, you meet somebody at an open house or whatever, they're going to Google you. Somebody refers you business, they're still going to look you up. And if you don't have a reasonable image and you don't live up to the expectation, they're going to move on from you. And so I would make the argument to somebody like, hey, only do as much as it takes. If that's your only reason for being on social media, do no more than is required than to look good when looked up or look good when looked up. And don't be bothered by the rest of it. But the next layer up is to nurture your existing network. And there I'd make the, like, I think that's where most people would find themselves. They're using a platform like Instagram because they want to stay in front of, to your point, their existing network. And I do think Instagram lends itself to be a platform where if you can comment and get DMs and activate the social side of it, it's a highly useful place for being in real relationship with your database. I might make the difference to say, like, for you with BAM and whatnot, it's a slightly different sales funnel than for a real estate agent. Because for a real estate agent, it's all about that relationship. It's about top of mind relationship and expertise. Versus for somebody like you or me, for instance, I want you on my long form content because ultimately, if you listen to a podcast like this, you might think, what would it be like to go to a full day training with Jason to talk about marketing? And so it naturally lends itself to more of the information products that we sell. So I think it's, I don't think it's, you want to take people from Instagram to YouTube. I think it's, I want to take people from YouTube to Instagram and Instagram to YouTube. And I want them just in all my platforms in community all the time. I don't know how much sense that made, but those are my thoughts.
Yeah, no, that did make sense. Or Instagram to your database. I think, you know, once you get a following on Instagram, like obviously you're not going to be using mini chat and lead magnets and all this stuff until you have a huge content library and you built that trust with your audience. You can't have 300 followers and then post, you know, comment the word buyer and I'm going to send you a buyer guide. You're going to get no comments. So you have to build up that bank.
Yeah.
But it is important, just, you know, as we saw Meta go down 2 weeks ago, it was out for three hours or whatever, devastating for us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, TikTok, will it get banned? Probably not. But, you know, the bill passes in the House. These platforms are so susceptible to algorithmic changes and hacks and bans and evolutions and shifts where all these apps are trying to become super apps. Twitter is trying to become, or X is trying to become everything, a messaging app, a crypto app, a payment app. TikTok is now trying to become Instagram. Instagram is becoming TikTok. They're both becoming YouTube. That if you do put all of your eggs into Instagram or YouTube, mostly Instagram, you're just too susceptible, right? That's why I
always preach. You are a product of whatever changes or adjustments they make. You're right.
Exactly. And it sucks to be an agent and not adjust to all these changes, right? Because you and I, you know, I'm reading social media today. I see a new algorithmic change, or I see that this carousel style is working. The average agent, how can they possibly know that? They're showing houses and dealing with actual deals. So the database, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but like, that's why using Instagram with DM chatbot automation and getting people, here's a buyer guide. Here's something a little bit more valuable. Let me exchange this for your email. Let me get you in my database is really kind of the name of the game, because you actually own that.
It's all about first party data. And we can sit here and talk about, well, there are changes happening in terms of how you can text and how you can email. And we know there are, but there are so, the regulations are so fewer than the susceptibility of algorithmic shifts on these platforms, significantly fewer. All right. Any final thoughts? We've been going for a long time, and I'm hoping that the person listening is mostly listening and they're hearing, oh, that makes me think about doing this, or that makes me think about this. And I hope we're starting to spark ideas about what you might do for your social on Instagram, on YouTube, or elsewhere. What are some maybe other items that you wanted to hit today or takeaway thoughts, Eric?
Yeah, I think trend jacking, I know I mentioned this a lot, but is not just the breaking news. Like, if you're discouraged to make content or you need help creating content, there's no more potent time to create content than around something that is happening in that moment, right? There's a reason why I post on the Super Bowl an Usher meme. There's a reason why it's St. Paddy's Day coming up. We have content planned for that. Or it's March Madness. We're going to do some sort of bracket challenge. Agents can do the final four of the best restaurants or the best beer gardens or whatever. Like, anytime you could wrap content around something that is happening in the moment, you're going to get that extra engagement boost. And it's really fun to do that. Like, it's really fun for the consumer to look at content and be like, oh my God, that agent posted something about Christmas. It's Christmas. I'm not talking about a social graphic, but I'm talking about maybe it's just an audio of a Christmas song in the background of a market update that's happening in Christmas, right? It's all these little touches about, like, the Broke Agent feed, and I know I'm just kind of repeating myself here, but if you go on the Broke Agent feed, every other post is about something that is happening in that moment. TikTok went down, or TikTok got banned. There's a BAM article on that. Instagram went down. There's a Broke Agent post on that. The NAR settlement's happening. There's, of course, content around that. It's March. It's March Madness. It's the spring market. The weather's shifting. You should be able to look at people's Instagram profiles and look at their posts, and it shouldn't be like a vacuum of, oh, this is the same sort of shit they were posting in July to the same sort of content they're posting now, right? Like, you can't look at someone's feed. I want to see the seasonal changes. I want to know when Thanksgiving was happening. I want to know when this was happening, in a sense that their content is in that moment.
That is a really great perspective. It really is.
Oh, thank
and,
God.
And to me, what it circles right, back to is, hey, at the end of the day, what this is about is knowing your audience and being able to, in a timely manner, deliver to them the valuable content that you have from here and putting it out to them. I mean, I always ask agents all the time, what do you sell? And the answer is, you sell your expertise in the way you convey it. That is the answer. I think a lot of agents think they sell houses, they sell experiences. Those are words that don't really describe what it is. The reason somebody hires you is because they think you have a skill set that's capable of achieving the outcomes they have in mind for themselves. It's about the expertise. And maybe that expertise is related to where you live and you have a certain knowledge base about the community. And how can you be the one who keeps people informed? How can you be the go-to resource that every person in your marketplace thinks, I go to this agent for that? And does your content show that on a recurrent basis? Or is there some kind of a hangup where it's like, well, it has to be this good of a video or I can't post it, or I don't have time for this? And when was the last time you went back and audited your processes to make yourselves more agile so that you could serve your audience appropriately?
And show that you care about the content. Like, you could tell when someone cares about their content, not just by the quality or the cuts or the edit, by the caption, by how often they're doing it, by the thumbnails possibly that they're using with their reels. Like, you could go to an account on Instagram that's an agent account and see that it's all templates and see that someone slapped it up. It could be from their assistant. There's no thought in the caption. It's just a listing description. There's no storytelling. There's no client reviews. There's no just like personality behind it. And then you could go to another agent's account, like a Shane Bergman or a Chris Benjamin, and you look at their account and you're like, that is this person. I'm getting a feel for who that person is. They probably spent 10, 15 minutes on that caption. Maybe they're specifically using keywords and hashtags, but they're trying, they're putting in the effort, because why would I consume that content if that person's not putting in the effort? I'm scrolling, right? I want that dopamine. If I see a template or something that someone just published just to publish, I'm off, and I hate that person.
Well, and I think all of it says this. It's not a checkbox to complete. At the end of the day, it's a privilege to be able to get in front of a consumer and share a point of view that might be valuable to them. And it creates consideration for your services, for them hiring you, for them working with you. And again, it's like a lot of agents hire companies to send emails for them. Those emails typically do pretty poorly in terms of metrics because they turn into canned content. Nobody wants to have canned content in their feeds. And so I think the challenge I'm hearing, and I don't want to keep recycling the same conversation, but man, there's so much about being in the now and being that the source of content that everybody who follows you needs right then and there based upon your expertise, that I think that is what's going to enable you to use Instagram like it's the amplifier of your message for your marketing in this marketplace. Eric, I just want to say thank you for jumping on. I would ask them where they could follow you, but you've already mentioned that like 8 times. I'm just messing with you.
This stuff, like, it's so, like you said, it's such a privilege to be in this industry in real estate, to build these media companies and each agent building their media company. Like, do you know how fun this is to have these little wins in content? Like, being in real estate, I was an active real estate agent despite popular belief. And there's so many losses that happen, right? Someone doesn't pick up your call. A buyer turns into a renter, whatever. Like, we all know all these things. Dad shows up at an inspection, just constant pain after pain after pain. But if you're also building your content journey and you see your email list jump 20, 30 subscribers because of a buyer's guide you put out, or you see an Instagram that crushed and got you 20, 30 more followers, like, that's fun. Like, those are prospects. Like, that is a really, really fun thing to do. And the agents that like embrace that and don't look at it as, oh, this is daunting to be able to do this. It's like, I could just keep building. Like, you're building a brand. Like, it's awesome.
I think you're giving some good coaching too, in the sense that if you're not looking at your insights and analytics every day, then you're not aware of the wins and you're not aware of the strategic opportunities based upon what you've been doing. That may be the change you make today, is I'm going to start at least looking at my insights every day so I can see the opportunities and then double down, triple down, and keep winning.
And if the content isn't working, sorry, we just do this all the time.
We've ended like 6 times. Let's do it again.
I know. If the content isn't working, stop doing that content. There you go. That's all.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, all seriousness, this has been a super fun conversation. And I think a lot of folks are, based upon coaching calls and so forth, in need of, okay, I feel like the tide is shifting a little bit on Instagram and elsewhere. And there's nobody better than you to have your finger on the pulse of what's happening on Instagram. You are the president of Instagram, as you previously stated. So Eric Simon, the Broke Agent, Broke Agent Media, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for this. I appreciate the insight, and I'm sure everybody does too. I want to know in the comments, what's your top takeaway? And or what did we not say that's definitely a trend or a worthy of mention, something or another that's happening in the space of Instagram or YouTube or social that should have been noted? Put it in the comments. Let's get a good conversation going. And until next week, this is This Week in Marketing.